This is the NOCN ESOL International Proficient User Level C2 Listening Examination. Please check that your name and other details are on your mark sheet. The invigilator will have explained how to fill in the mark sheet. Do not write on your examination paper. Put your answers on the mark sheet. The listening examination will now begin. Part 1. You will hear 10 sentences. Read the replies on your examination paper. You have 2 minutes to read the replies on your examination paper. Listen to the sentences. You will hear the sentences in full twice. Choose the best reply for the situation. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers. 1. What happened to you yesterday? I waited for over an hour, then gave up. 2. I don't know whether to get an Xbox or a PlayStation. 3. Hanging a curtain pole is not as easy as you think, you know. 4. Every time I close my eyes, I feel as though I could fall asleep. 5. I love lighting candles in the evening. 6. Turn the 2 blue levers on the boiler to top up the water levels. 7. Why don't people take more care when they are crossing the road? I nearly hit her. 8. Could you put me through to Antonio, please? 9. How about going out on Saturday? We could go shopping and have lunch in town. 10. If you follow me, I'll take you to the interview room. Now listen to the sentences again. 1. What happened to you yesterday? I waited for over an hour, then gave up. 2. I don't know whether to get an Xbox or a PlayStation. 3. Hanging a curtain pole is not as easy as you think, you know. 4. Every time I close my eyes, I feel as though I could fall asleep. 5. I love lighting candles in the evening. 6. Turn the two blue levers on the boiler to top up the water levels. 7. Why don't people take more care when they are crossing the road? I nearly hit her. 8. Could you put me through to Antonio, please? 9. How about going out on Saturday? We could go shopping and have lunch in town. 10. If you follow me, I'll take you to the interview room. Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. You will hear 2 conversations. Read the questions and answers on your examination paper for both conversations. You have 2 minutes to read them. Listen to conversation one. You'll hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Hey, Peter. You know they say that English can be a bit eccentric. Well, apparently they have a festival in May where they roll cheese down a hill and run after it.
No, really? What's that all about?
It's pretty self-explanatory, really. A lot of people gather at the top of a hill in a village called Brockworth in Gloucester, and they roll a lump of cheese down the hill and run after it. The first person across the finish line is the winner, and they win the cheese. Well, I'm not sure I'd like to eat it after that, would you?
Not really. What kind of cheese is that? You mean it's like a football?
It's called Double Gloucester, and it's flat and round. Sounds like fun to me. People from all over the world turn up to watch it and join in. It's quite dangerous, though. People have been injured falling down the hill.
Have you heard of La Tomatina? It's a massive tomato fight in a village called Buñol near Valencia in Spain. Millions of tomatoes are thrown.
What a waste of tomatoes. Why do they do that?
Just for fun, I think. They have lorries loaded up with tomatoes, and then they light a banger. When they hear the firework explode, everyone starts throwing tomatoes at each other. The streets are so full of tomatoes, people are swimming in the juice. I wouldn't mind joining in. Apparently 30,000 people turn up.
You'll be going on your own then. I can't think of anything worse. Imagine having to clean up all the mess afterwards. It must cost a fortune on street cleaning.
Oh, you're no fun. You'd rather be chasing a cheese down a hill. Let's go to La Tomatina in August.
Only if we go to the cheese rolling. Cheese and tomato go really well together.
Now listen to the conversation again.
Hey, Peter. You know they say that English can be a bit eccentric. Well, apparently they have a festival in May where they roll cheese down a hill and run after it.
No, really? What's that all about?
It's pretty self-explanatory, really. A lot of people gather at the top of a hill in a village called Brockworth in Gloucester, and they roll a lump of cheese down the hill and run after it. The first person across the finish line is the winner, and they win the cheese. Well, I'm not sure I'd like to eat it after that, would you?
Not really. What kind of cheese is that? You mean it's like a football?
It's called Double Gloucester, and it's flat and round. Sounds like fun to me. People from all over the world turn up to watch it and join in. It's quite dangerous, though. People have been injured falling down the hill.
Have you heard of La Tomatina? It's a massive tomato fight in a village called Buñol near Valencia in Spain. Millions of tomatoes are thrown.
What a waste of tomatoes. Why do they do that?
Just for fun, I think. They have lorries loaded up with tomatoes, and then they light a banger. When they hear the firework explode, everyone starts throwing tomatoes at each other. The streets are so full of tomatoes, people are swimming in the juice. I wouldn't mind joining in. Apparently 30,000 people turn up.
You'll be going on your own then. I can't think of anything worse. Imagine having to clean up all the mess afterwards. It must cost a fortune on street cleaning.
Oh, you're no fun. You'd rather be chasing a cheese down a hill. Let's go to La Tomatina in August.
Only if we go to the cheese rolling. Cheese and tomato go really well together.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. Listen to conversation 2. You will hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
You know, Rosa, I often think about moving to a warmer climate. I'm so fed up with this dank, dark, wet weather. It's so depressing.
I've often contemplated whether to live in a hot country. I've heard it's good for your aching bones and cheers you up. I often find I feel a lot happier when the sun is shining. If you could move abroad, where would you go?
I like the idea of residing in Spain or Italy. I can just see myself living in the mountains, looking down on olive groves and eating al fresco on a stone balcony in the shade with a warm breeze blowing on my face.
That's a very romantic view. They have bad weather too. In fact, worse storms than we have here. However, it does sound idyllic and very alluring. I quite fancy living in a small, quiet village, but not too far from a town. Somewhere near the sea would be lovely. Of course, the other good thing about living abroad, especially in Spain, is it's a lot cheaper than living here. You can buy some fantastic properties at half the price they are here, and fruit and vegetables are cheaper and sweeter and much larger than those grown here. I should imagine the sun releases the sugar in the food and makes them taste so much better.
Yes. Just think how relaxed we'd be, living a slower pace of life, having afternoon siestas, and waking up every day to perpetual summer.
I know. I often look online and then the only thing that stops me is feeling homesick. You know the phrase, home is where the heart is. My heart is here, so I doubt I'll ever really take the plunge to go. I'll just stick to holidaying abroad.
Yes, I know what you mean. Oh well, it's nice to dream.
Now listen to the conversation again.
You know, Rosa, I often think about moving to a warmer climate. I'm so fed up with this dank, dark, wet weather. It's so depressing.
I've often contemplated whether to live in a hot country. I've heard it's good for your aching bones and cheers you up. I often find I feel a lot happier when the sun is shining. If you could move abroad, where would you go?
I like the idea of residing in Spain or Italy. I can just see myself living in the mountains, looking down on olive groves and eating al fresco on a stone balcony in the shade with a warm breeze blowing on my face.
That's a very romantic view. They have bad weather too. In fact, worse storms than we have here. However, it does sound idyllic and very alluring. I quite fancy living in a small, quiet village, but not too far from a town. Somewhere near the sea would be lovely. Of course, the other good thing about living abroad, especially in Spain, is it's a lot cheaper than living here. You can buy some fantastic properties at half the price they are here, and fruit and vegetables are cheaper and sweeter and much larger than those grown here. I should imagine the sun releases the sugar in the food and makes them taste so much better.
Yes. Just think how relaxed we'd be, living a slower pace of life, having afternoon siestas, and waking up every day to perpetual summer.
I know. I often look online and then the only thing that stops me is feeling homesick. You know the phrase, home is where the heart is. My heart is here, so I doubt I'll ever really take the plunge to go. I'll just stick to holidaying abroad.
Yes, I know what you mean. Oh well, it's nice to dream.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debate and Discussion. You will now hear a debate and a discussion. You will hear them twice. You have 2 minutes to look at the questions for both the debate and the discussion. Now listen to the debate. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers. So, Mark, you say you are a crystal healer. What exactly does that mean?
Crystal healing is a holistic therapy that taps into the natural energetic power of crystals and how they affect the body and mind. I place healing crystals on or around someone to help unblock bad energy and direct good energy into the human body. Bad energy causes illness, so by removing this bad energy, we can heal the body.
Surely, it's all psychosomatic. If you feel unwell, you'll be ill. If you feel well, you have energy and positivity. So isn't it just the power of the mind that affects the body?
Not at all. Crystals take millions of years to form underground. The way crystals are formed imbues them with the ability to hold energies. There are different types of crystals depending on the type of mineral it's made from and the conditions it grows in. These differences are thought to change the effect the crystal has energetically. We are all made up of different energies. And when these become stagnant, unbalanced, or blocked, it can cause illness. The premise is that crystals help unblock, balance, and direct energy where it's most needed, gently supporting the body to heal in a therapeutic way.
So, if I have a headache, I just put a crystal on my forehead and it goes away.
Different types of crystals have different properties and energies. Just holding and being near these crystals affects our own energies on a physical, spiritual, and emotional level, but it has to be the right crystal. I'm not saying they cure anyone of anything. Meditation also plays a role in healing the body. Stress accounts for a lot of illness.
Well, it all sounds a bit far-fetched to me. However, I am broad-minded, so would be willing to give it a go. When is your next healing session? Now listen to the debate again. So, Mark, you say you are a crystal healer. What exactly does that mean?
Crystal healing is a holistic therapy that taps into the natural energetic power of crystals and how they affect the body and mind. I place healing crystals on or around someone to help unblock bad energy and direct good energy into the human body. Bad energy causes illness, so by removing this bad energy, we can heal the body.
Surely, it's all psychosomatic. If you feel unwell, you'll be ill. If you feel well, you have energy and positivity. So is it just the power of the mind that affects the body?
Not at all. Crystals take millions of years to form underground. The way crystals are formed imbues them with the ability to hold energies. There are different types of crystals depending on the type of mineral it's made from and the conditions it grows in. These differences are thought to change the effect the crystal has energetically. We are all made up of different energies, and when these become stagnant, unbalanced, or blocked, it can cause illness. The premise is that crystals help unblock, balance, and direct energy where it's most needed, gently supporting the body to heal in a therapeutic way.
So, if I have a headache, I just put a crystal on my forehead and it goes away.
Different types of crystals have different properties and energies. Just holding and being near these crystals affects our own energies on a physical, spiritual, and emotional level, but it has to be the right crystal. I'm not saying they cure anyone of anything. Meditation also plays a role in healing the body. Stress accounts for a lot of illness.
Well, it all sounds a bit far-fetched to me. However, I am broad-minded, so would be willing to give it a go. When is your next healing session? Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debate and discussion. Listen to the discussion. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Good morning and welcome to Live Science. Superfoods seem to be the new trend at the moment, and today we are discussing what they are and what they do. Petra is a dietitian and has conducted studies into these superfoods. What exactly are they, Petra?
Superfoods are nutritionally dense foods, mostly plant-based, but can also include oily fish and dairy.
Can you give me some examples?
Blueberries, salmon, mackerel, and kale are just a few examples. However, scientists have now found that sprouting vegetables from seeds provide more nutrition. In fact, a teaspoon of these sprouts is better than a whole plate of vegetables. Sprouts are a raw, living superfood in a germinating condition similar to cress and alfalfa. They provide a highly concentrated source of pre-digested vitamins, minerals, amino acids, fatty acids, chlorophyll, and other health-enhancing compounds unique to each sprout variety. Sprouts assist in activating the immune system and are cleansing to the body. Those high in chlorophyll are especially effective at removing toxins from the cells and the lymphatic system. They are also high in dietary fiber, which promotes healthy bowel movements and improves intestinal functions.
So, where do we find these sprouting superfoods? Are they readily available, and are they expensive to buy?
Supermarkets are now beginning to stock them, and they are proving very popular and are quite inexpensive. But if you don't want to buy them, you can grow your own in a jar.
So, would you say superfoods are the foods of the future?
As a dietitian, I think superfood is more of a marketing gimmick for foods that have health benefits. We just need to remember that by eating natural foods packed with nutrients, we strengthen our immune systems and improve our general health and mental well-being.
Thank you, Petra. I'll certainly be looking out for sprouting superfoods when I next go shopping.
Now listen to the discussion again.
Good morning and welcome to Live Science. Superfoods seem to be the new trend at the moment, and today we are discussing what they are and what they do. Petra is a dietitian and has conducted studies into these superfoods. What exactly are they, Petra?
Superfoods are nutritionally dense foods, mostly plant-based, but can also include oily fish and dairy.
Can you give me some examples?
Blueberries, salmon, mackerel, and kale are just a few examples. However, scientists have now found that sprouting vegetables from seeds provide more nutrition. In fact, a teaspoon of these sprouts is better than a whole plate of vegetables. Sprouts are a raw, living superfood in a germinating condition similar to cress and alfalfa. They provide a highly concentrated source of pre-digested vitamins, minerals, amino acids, fatty acids, chlorophyll, and other health-enhancing compounds unique to each sprout variety. Sprouts assist in activating the immune system and are cleansing to the body. Those high in chlorophyll are especially effective at removing toxins from the cells and the lymphatic system. They are also high in dietary fiber, which promotes healthy bowel movements and improves intestinal functions.
So, where do we find these sprouting superfoods? Are they readily available, and are they expensive to buy?
Supermarkets are now beginning to stock them, and they are proving very popular and are quite inexpensive. But if you don't want to buy them, you can grow your own in a jar.
So, would you say superfoods are the foods of the future?
As a dietitian, I think superfood is more of a marketing gimmick for foods that have health benefits. We just need to remember that by eating natural foods packed with nutrients, we strengthen our immune systems and improve our general health and mental well-being.
Thank you, Petra. I'll certainly be looking out for sprouting superfoods when I next go shopping.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. That is the end of the listening examination. Please check your mark sheet is completed correctly. Put your pens down. End of examination.